Will you just join with me in praying for Andrew? Lord, we ask that you would give Andrew peace here. He's welcome. He's part of our wider family. And we ask, Lord, you give him peace and liberty to speak the words that you've given him to. Lord, I think especially as we have been looking to listen to you during all of our lives, but in particular these 40 days of prayer and fasting, and looking to hear your word and respond to you. Lord, it's what we want to do. We see it in Jesus as how he said on a number of occasions that he only did the things that he saw his Father doing. He only spoke the words that he heard his Father speaking. And Lord, it's in this context that we receive Andrew as one who, with the fellowship around him, have been looking to hear you and be obedient to your word. So Lord, open our hearts to receive him. Open our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, is this on? Can you hear me? Well, it's great to be here this morning. Thank you for inviting us over. It's always fun to come over. And we're just excited about what God's doing with us in the churches in Western Canada, in Salt and Light. And it feels like there's more connection happening over the last few years. And God's joining us together. And who knows what God will have for us in these coming years working together. We just don't know. But it's been great to, partly through having Charlie and Judy move here, it's given us a bit more of a connection here, a bit more of a, they're good friends of ours, so it's a good excuse to come. And also just the other weekend we had, just the other week we had Ray and Mary Ann come and share at our joint home group about what they've been doing and what they are doing in the Congo. And it was just a real privilege to have them with us. We really enjoyed having them. It was just a kind of last-minute invitation, and I kind of didn't expect them to be able to come before they went to Congo. And then Ray was like, yep, we're coming. And I said to Rochelle, you know, Ray's kind of crazy. And Rochelle was like, well, he's a bit like you, you know, he's just kind of spur of the moment. And so sure enough, Charlie asked me just a week or so ago whether I'd come and share here. And it's a privilege to be here. And I felt immediately that God to say, just go and tell what I've been doing. And that's what happens, isn't it, when we get together and we hear from one another. Whenever Charlie and I are on the phone or we text one another or whatever, it's always about what we've been reading or what God's been speaking to us or what he's doing in the church that we're a part of. And it's always encouraging because God is doing things. And it also gives us a wider perspective of what he's doing. And this morning we're staying at Charlie and Judy's house. I just drove up the hill, you know, at the rise where the golf course is. I just drove up the hill and it was just beautiful morning. And down in the valley was all this cloud, and I was above the cloud. I was thinking, what a great view this is. And then a plane went above me. I was like, oh, that's a whole nother view that you've got. I thought I had a good view, but here's this view. And I felt like God speaks something. He wants to raise, he wants to give us a bigger perspective of what he's doing. And we get to partner with him in that. So really, this is just a story, part of our story of God's faithfulness to us in planting us out in Warfield and building the church there. And it's what God is doing. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I actually feel like I'm slowing down what God is doing. I was looking at my journal from about 7 years ago, and I was like, wow, I was reading some of the things that I felt God was saying to me then. I was like, have I not got hold of this yet? Feels like I'm just reading this for the first time, or God's just speaking about this for the first time. How can it be that I haven't been walking in this more? But God is gracious to us, isn't he? And he's faithful to keep speaking, and he's faithful to his church, and he's faithful to each one of us, and he has a plan. And he has a plan for his glory, and that's what he's about. So as I share the story this morning, I just want to kind of base it around one verse that has been especially impacting to us on our journey And it's when Jesus calls his disciple. And you'll know from the title, if you've looked in the bulletin, the title of this morning is Follow Me. So you'll kind of know what the verse is. But it's been one of those verses that just keeps on speaking to us. And you know how God's word does that, doesn't it? That you can read the same thing over and over again, and yet still God is bringing new life from it. And it's felt like in each season that we've been on, these words keep coming up, and God keeps speaking freshly from these words. And they're from Matthew chapter 4. And what has happened just before is that Jesus has he's been baptized by John the Baptist, and he's gone into the wilderness, and he's been tempted by the devil. He spent 40 days, kind of like you guys have spent 40 days of prayer and fasting, maybe not all the temptations that Jesus faced, but he faced these temptations. He came through that. John the Baptist is then arrested, and Jesus starts his ministry with the words proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he calls his first disciples. And these are just some of the words I want to read from Matthew chapter 4. I'll read the verse before it as well. Verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing. Sorry, I'm in the wrong place. We're up above on verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And I'll come back to that verse numerous times this morning as I just share our story. But how it started is God puts desires in our hearts, doesn't he? And it's he uses where we grow up and what we've been a part of and who we've had around us to influence our lives. And I grew up in England, and I went to a little tiny church called Cope Baptist Church. Peter and Jan will have been there, I'm sure. It was where Wesley once preached, but it's this tiny little church in this tiny little community called Cope. And it was a Baptist church, and you know, in the 70s, when God was moving powerfully by the Holy Spirit, and people were being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God met this little church. Steve Thomas, who is now leading the Salt and Light International, was actually the Baptist pastor there. There was a group of people praying that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and it just radically changed that place. I can remember one of my first memories. It was like old stone floor, and each family had their own cubicle, so you could keep the kids contained probably in one space. And it was pretty high, that the sides of it were wooden sides, and you could just see above it to the preacher. But I remember one morning, a man called Roger Cole, who was a pig farmer at the time, dancing down the aisle while playing his flute. He's a beautiful flute player. That was one of my first earliest church memories, as God was visiting this church. He danced down the aisle playing the flute, and now he's one of the pastors in England. But God is moving, and out of that, joined that little church to another house church quite close. And out of that, God started expanding, and churches started to get planted out of these groups of people. And God started speaking to us about church planting. So about 7 years old, my dad was sent out to plant a church in another town nearby. And that was kind of my growing up experience. And I just saw it as such a great way that God takes a community of people and puts them in a new location. And all of a sudden, here's a place, here's a group of people where God can be encountered and God can be experienced. And it's touching a whole different group of people. And Terry Virgo, who's a leader of a New Frontiers churches, it's kind of quite similar to our Salt and Light churches. He wrote this about church planting, which has impacted me. Church planting is not simply a matter of getting a number of individuals saved. It is about the advance of God's community in the earth. He wants a community, his city, his family, in which he could dwell. This community then becomes a place where God is manifested on the earth. His people are his dwelling place, where he can be found and encountered, right here amongst you in Vernon. This is a place where God can be found and encountered. That's why you're here. There's no need to make a pilgrimage to designated holy place, be it Jerusalem or Mecca. God's people are his holy dwelling place. God is accessible on his planet among his people. So when we plant a church in a new location, we're establishing a temple where God can be encountered, where his presence is felt and experienced. Holy lifestyles lived out in holy communities replace holy relics and historic locations. God wants a wonderful family growing throughout the world, a place where lives are changed, where his presence is felt and lost people can find a home. Starting churches then is at the very heart of God's mission on earth. And so that's some of the things that kind of grip me, is like whenever God's moving in this way, it's an opportunity for God to be reaching new areas, new people, where God can be encountered. And that's what he's done through you here. So God puts desires on our hearts. He also gives us questions at times. And when we were living in Vancouver, I was asked to be one of the elders there. And I had a question in my heart for us as a church, which was, how does God want us to grow as a church? You know, we'd already filled our building, and it'd been filled for quite a number of years. So how does God want us to grow? We know that God's always got this expansion on his heart. Even in times of pruning and cutting back, it's still for growth that he's planning for. Jesus sent people out all the time. He sent his disciples out. He talked about the kingdom of heaven being like a mustard seed, smallest seed, yet it grows to the biggest garden plant. He talked about it being like yeast in the bread that rises up and expands. He teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. There's this expansiveness that's on God's heart for his kingdom and for us as a people. So how does God want us to grow? Is it, you know, this is as I was thinking in West Coast, is it through getting a larger building? You can do that. Or is it through, some churches go to multiple services on a Sunday? Or is it through church planting? And so I had this question on my heart, and it got to one of our elders' retreats. And it was actually at Judy's brother's cabin in Merritt. And we had Ron McLean from Winnipeg and Steve Thomas from England there. And I thought, I'm not going to talk about church planting this time. I've already talked about it, and it just hasn't been the right time. So I'm not going to mention church planting this time. But it was one of those weekends where conversation led to conversation. It felt like God was leading every conversation. It was really special time. And it got to one night when I was just before Dave Borman went to sleep, I got to speak with him, and we were just talking about something completely unrelated. And at the end of the conversation, I just said, you know, at some point, not this weekend, but at some point, I'd really like to talk about church planting again. And this time, David had been lying down, kind of almost going to sleep, you know, on the couch where he was sleeping. This time, he just shot straight up. And we started to talk about it, and there was a receptiveness. He had just been to Trail to officiate a wedding, and some of the conversations he had kind of stirred something up in him. And I was just using Trail or Warfield as an example of a place that could have a church. I wasn't actually thinking that we would go there and do that, but this time Dave was just like, we've got to pray about this. We prayed about it the next morning as elders, and God was clearly touching us by his Holy Spirit. about this. And so we left then that place with a question all of us had. Is God speaking to us about planting a church in Trail, in the Trail area? And I won't go into every detail that God kind of, you know, thing after thing that God spoke about, kind of leading that way. And it got to the place where we felt, we need to share this with the church and just see, you know, have a time of praying about it with the church. And just don't say anything about location, but let's just see if anything prophetic comes up during that time. So we shared it with the church and we had a couple of weeks of praying about it. And during that time, you know how you can do a search on your computer? You search for a document and it comes up with a list of things. Well, Dave Borman was doing a search on his computer for something else. And up comes this prophetic word from Lynn Watson from a number of years before. And he just read it out of interest and it said, you know, I feel like the basics of the word were, I feel like God wants us to plant a church in Trail. And Dave was like, this is amazing. This is just in this 2 weeks as we're praying about it as a church. And then in that two-week period, Lynn Watson emailed in. He said, I don't know if you remember that prophetic word that I had some years ago, but it was about planting a church in Trail. And I still feel that's where it is. That's the place that God's speaking to us about. There was thing after thing that God started to speak about. And I don't know, I can only describe it as, you know when the snow comes down? And each snowflake is so fragile and soft, isn't it? And light. And it melts in your hand. But then as it comes down, and it comes down, and it comes down, as you know here, as we do in Trail, it builds up this weight that you can't ignore. And it felt like that with these words of God that were just kept on coming a little bit. It wasn't like a lightning bolt word, just this evidence, the weight of evidence was building up that God was speaking. And it also keeps us, it wasn't a lightning bolt word, and I think part of the reason of that is it keeps us listening to God. It's almost like we say, Lord, I think you're saying this. Is this right? I'm going to take another step. I want to follow you. Lead us and guide us. And each time God led us, one of the other things that was helpful, you know, it's helpful when you and your wife or you and your husband are on the same page about where you're going in life, especially when it involves locations and change of life and leaving family. And up until this point, Rochelle and I have been praying about it, and I'd felt like God is speaking about it. And Rochelle had been open to praying about it, but hadn't felt anything. And I was like, wow, this is not so good yet. And we went to a prayer meeting at the church. On the way to the prayer meeting, I was saying to God just quietly, Lord, if this is you, you need to speak to Rochelle as well. We went to the prayer meeting, got in the car afterwards. The first thing Rochelle says to me was, well, God started speaking to me about Trail. I was like, thank you, Lord. Now we're on the same page, and now we can walk in that together. And then we started praying we realized the need for a team. As a team of elders, we realized the need for a team. We started praying about a team, and it was a really precious time as a church because as the elders encouraged the whole church to be praying, Lord, should I stay or should I go? And then it was like everybody, all of us, were holding our lives before God and saying, where have you got me for this next season of my life? So it wasn't like some people were feeling a call. Everybody was feeling a call. It was either to stay or it was to go. But everybody was involved in this process of hearing God, and it was a precious time. And there were a few people, a few other couples that were interested, but nobody had committed yet. And it got to a place where it was kind of June of 2008. And Rochelle and I felt like, June of 2009, sorry. And Rochelle and I felt like we've heard God, we need to go and trust God for a team. And so we shared that with the elders, and the elders felt peace about that. And so we put in my notice for work at the hospital, and where I was nursing at the time, and said, okay, we're going in September. And then all of a sudden, God started to bring this team together. And God was faithful to bring a team together and speak to different ones. And it's precious because some of those people left, were willing to leave their careers to come to Trail. There's not the variety of jobs and opportunities in Trail that there are in a place like Vancouver. And people were obediently hearing God to come. So God was joining this team together, and Don and Christine Clark and Mike and Angie Macway and Aidan and Allison Poulter, and then a little bit later Nathan and Henny Lee joined us, and it just felt like this great team was coming together. And then God started, before we moved, God started highlighting this verse. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It started to speak to me in different ways. And as I read it, I just saw this is basically the whole Christian life is summed up in these words. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus is calling his disciples. This is the whole life. It's calling us into intimacy with God. Calling these disciples into intimacy with him, where they can know him and they can be known by him and they can be shaped by him and they can be changed by him. And that he's the one that would lead them and lead us into his mission. When we follow him, we allow ourselves to be joined to him. There will be fruitfulness. You know, it reminds you of the vine and the branches. You know, if you remain in him, you'll bear much fruit. It reminded another few verses that spoke to us a lot from Isaiah 54, which Charlie read out this morning, the bit about, sing, O barren woman, you've had no children. And it goes on to say, you're going to have more children than the one who's already married. And he said, you know, God's speaking about, enlarge your tents, stretch out your curtains, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. And it's this expansion that God's preparing, and God is speaking to us through that. And then that amazing line, for your maker is your husband. And if you are joined to the maker of heaven and earth, and he's our husband, there is no barrenness in him. He's the one who produces life. That's the key. The key to anything is we must be joined to him. And he is not barren, and he is incredibly fruitful. And if we're joined to him, he'll do the rest. So it felt like God speaking through that. It spoke to me about he's the one with the initiative. He's the one that calls us, follow me. And he's the one who has a plan. He's calling us to follow him. That's all we are responsible for. And he has the plan, and he has the ability to carry it out. So people would say, so what's your 5-year strategy? What's your plan? You know, there's different models out there of church planning. What's your plan? How are you going to do this? And we just felt like the only thing we could say is, well, we don't have a plan other than we're going to go and we're going to attempt to hear God for the next step. And that's the only thing we're responsible for. And I just felt God was saying, just follow me and I'll do the rest. Sometimes we want to know way more, don't we? We want to know the full picture, how it's going to work, what's going to happen. And it doesn't work like that. Some of Jesus' last words to Peter were the same as his first words. He just told Peter, this is how you're going to die. And then he says, follow me. And then Peter says, remember, he says, well, what about John? You know, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus says these words. He says, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And our safety is not from a structure or a plan. It is just from following Jesus and asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And so the plan was follow me. And over again, we found that's exactly what happened. God would lead us. You know, we're driving there. We're driving down the hill, and it's towards where we're going to live in September 2009. And we're driving down the hill, and I'm thinking, it's nighttime, and Rochelle and I are spending some time just praying. And the kids, I think, were mostly asleep in the back of the car. And I was thinking, what are we going to do with all these kids? We already had a number of families, all these kids. How are we going to do church like this? How is it going to work? And I immediately felt God speak. These are not a problem. They're a blessing. And you're not to see them as a problem, but invest into these kids. They're a huge blessing. So we've got, right now, we've got about 50 kids in the church. And church is very different with 50 kids. But we felt God say, don't put them to the side. Bring them into the center. They're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. They are part of the church. And like bring them into the center of what is going on. So again and again, it felt like God was leading us in every area to do with details, location, how we reach our kids, and all these things. God was the one, as we went to him, he gave us a way forward. It also spoke to me, this verse, of a command and a promise. Sometime after we had moved to Warfield, one of my aches, still an ache, is I feel I really want to see people come to Jesus. And yet I don't feel I'm very good at doing it. And I've actually had very little success in leading people to Jesus. And I felt like this ache and this kind of felt barrenness. I don't think it's true, but and I just really wanted to see that change. And sometime after we'd moved to Warfield, I felt God speak again from this verse, that you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There's a promise. You follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So we've been there almost 5 years now, and God's been faithful all along. He's joined people to us. He's joined people that moved with us to plant the church, those couples I already told you about. And I know that Nathan and Henny, some of your family, some of their family are here this morning. I just want to say what an amazing blessing they are to us. In Warfield, just amazing blessing. There's people who love Jesus and follow him. Nathan's one of our elders, and Henny moves in the prophetic. Nathan has got an amazing administrative gift, like no one I've ever seen. And sometimes it can drive you crazy as well. But no, he's an amazing gift, and they're an amazing gift as a family. I just want to say that they're part of here. And so you've got a part in what's going on there. God joined those people. He's joined people that were from broken church situations, particularly one church situation that had a big moral fallout and went from about 250 to zero. And so we received some of those families, and God's actually been joining those people to us. And then there's people that have been in the area that weren't going anywhere. They'd been maybe damaged by previous church experiences, and God has been joining those to us. And we've seen a few become followers of Jesus or on a journey to Jesus. And that's been so exciting. One of Rochelle's friends who came, radical conversion experience. I mean, the next day she's emailing us and saying, this emptiness that was inside my heart is now filled with love and peace. Like, and she just couldn't believe it. And soon after, her husband got work in another area, and they had to move away. And we're like, what's going to happen? She's only just become a Christian. And yet God is faithful to his children. And she keeps on emailing us things that she's growing in God and the life of God in her. And it makes it all worth it. Even if it was just for one person coming to Jesus and experiencing that kind of life, it's all worth it. But it feels like there's so much more as well. And there's a real love for one another in the church. It feels like God's drawing these people together. You know, the verse in John 13 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And it really feels like God is joining people's hearts together in love for one another. And it feels like we're joined together for purpose. And it feels like we're on the verge of something, you know. God's joined hearts together for purpose. And so again, this verse is speaking freshly to me. And maybe these things are obvious to you, but it's just when God starts speaking, it just, you know, it has a way of getting your attention. But follow me is a daily command to obedience. This is about obedience. And it's just been coming alive to me. You don't get to tick a box. Say, I moved to Trail 5 years ago, so I followed Jesus. It's a relationship of following Jesus. That's just one small step. We don't get to say, I prayed a prayer 20 years ago. So that's it. I'm a follower of Jesus. No, it's a daily, Jesus, where are you taking me? Where are you leading me? And I feel like this is coming alive afresh, that it's about this relationship with him. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus ends with that famous story of the man who built his house on the rock and the one who built it on the sand, and you know it really well. But he chooses to finish possibly the greatest sermon ever preached, definitely by the greatest preacher that ever preached. And he chooses to finish with these words. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And then he goes on a little bit later to say, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a man who built his house on the sand. And you know the story, the rains come, the waters come, and great is his ruin. And it's about an obedience, giving our lives to him. We're either following him or we're moving away from him. And in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes and Peter preaches that message, and it says people were cut to the heart. And they said, what shall we do to be saved? And Peter tells them, repent, which is a whole change of direction. Like, you're going one way, and now repent. Your whole life, your mind, your heart is going the other direction, running in the other direction. He says, repent and be baptized as immediate opportunity of obedience. And the very act of being baptized was out of obedience and would mark those people out for persecution and maybe even death at that time. Jesus had just been crucified, and sure enough, soon after, the persecution of the church happens. So they're obediently giving their lives to something that might cost them their lives. We are not our own. Our time is not our own. Our money is not our own. Our lives are not our own. Our families are not even our own. They belong to God. And we belong to him. And we're called to follow him and an obedience that he's calling for. Jesus speaks about it again and again. You know, those who love me will keep my commands. You know, it's in there over and over again. There's a result of a life that's given to God. That leads to a life of following God. And we're called to obedience, not out of a duty or a works, trying to work something for our salvation, but out of the overflow of what God's done for us. So in Romans chapter 12, where you've got Paul has written all through Romans the amazing plan of God in saving us in Jesus Christ. And then it gets to chapter 12. And he, because of all this, he's writing, in view of all this, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, because of all he's done, because of how he's given his life, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When God reveals to us what he's done for us, it causes a natural response in our hearts, not out of works or empty religion, but out of a longing. The other night we were with a couple that are just coming to know Jesus, who I work with in the emergency at the hospital and have started coming along to church, and she's given her life to Jesus. And he is from a Catholic background and kind of thinks he's already there, so clearly he's not there yet. But they're definitely on a journey. And we've been doing the Vintage Jesus course with them, which is a DVD course. It's a bit like an Alpha course. And we've been doing this with them. And each session, it just leads to great discussion afterwards. And this last one was, what did Jesus accomplish on the cross? And Mark Driscoll, who's the guy who does the Vintage Jesus, was speaking about the brutality of what Jesus went through. The physical suffering of the crucifixion and being whipped and beaten. And you know, when they were whipped, they had those leather strands, and in those strands would be chunks of bone or hooks or sharp substance that they would whip the person across the back, and then they would draw it back across the back and open up the flesh. And many people would die just from the loss of blood from that moment. And he's talking about how there's even one account where somebody was whipped like this and the hooks hooked in to the bone and it ripped out a rib. This is how powerful a beating this was. It tore out a rib. Many people would die just from the beating. And that's what Jesus went through for us. And then he went through being crucified and dying basically by suffocation slowly. And he went through this for us. And then Mark Driscoll talks about what he won for us on the cross.
If we're his disciple, we will follow him on his mission, where he's going, what he's already started. And we will make disciples. The great commission that Jesus gives at the end of Matthew, where he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. This is our full purpose as God's people. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Be my disciple, and I'll lead you in coming alongside other people, and you'll point them to me. This is what it's all about. Know God and make him known. This is what the church is about. And as we have that in our hearts, it's not some really hard thing that we've got to work ourselves up to. It's just walking and looking in a different way. We're walking down the street and saying, God, who are you joining me to? Who are the people you want me to touch? Who are the people that need you? Recently, I was just in Subway, where I take my lunch break sometimes, and there's a man that I regularly see there.
And he's about, he was 82 years old at the time. And I regularly see him and we start talking together. And I get the impression he's actually quite lonely. And he's got nobody. And we were going to have Easter Monday, we were going to have an Easter brunch at our house and just invite some people over. And so I said to him, you know, would you like to come to our Easter brunch? And the look across his face was, and he said something like, really? You don't know what this means to me. And so he came to the Easter brunch, and then just this last Sunday, I said it was going to be his birthday. He's 83. I found out it was his birthday. So I said, we're going to do birthday cake for you, and you know, I want you to come over in the afternoon if you can. I said, we're going to go into church in the morning, and you're welcome to come to that too if you want. And sure enough, he wanted to come to that too. And he came along to church, and then he came along in the afternoon, and we had birthday cake, and Henny came over, and the kids, and we all had birthday cake with him. But it wasn't hard. It was actually fun, really exciting, because what God wants to change our viewpoint of where we go, the places we're already going, and the people we're already seeing, and say, just open our eyes, Lord, open up the conversations. Show me who it is that we have our eyes open. And I almost didn't ask this man for breakfast because I thought that's a bit, I've only just met him, you know, he's going to think I'm a bit weird. He's going to think I'm a bit strange to invite him over to my house for breakfast, but obviously not. And God has his ways. So church planting, you know, I've told some of the story of how God has led us, but church planting isn't actually the goal. It's not actually the call. The call is to be his disciple. And as his disciples, to make disciples, who then will make disciples, who then will make disciples. And if we're doing that, churches will be planted, and new works will be started, and the gospel will spread, and God's kingdom will advance and will grow. And the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So it's not about everyone should be doing a church plant, but it is about all of us should be following Jesus on his mission as he makes us fishers of men. And I felt a fresh challenge. You know, we can get so into our lives, can't we? Like just working and doing a family and looking after kids. And we can miss the whole purpose that we're here. I felt God challenging that in me, that we can get so into what we're doing. But God wants to lead us out on his mission. So that's part of the story of God's faithfulness to us. I know you've got stories of God's faithfulness to you. And really, I've just been asking this question and leave us all with this question. Are we following him? Or have we settled for something else? We've got busy. We've got into life as we know it. But are we following him daily on the mission that he wants to lead us into? Because he has life that he wants to give us. So I just want to pray for you in closing, if that's okay. And maybe just give ourselves and give our hearts to him right now. And just offer ourselves to him. Jesus, we thank you. You came seeking us. And you found us. And you rescued us. And this was part of your mission. And then you sent us on your mission to find others and point them to you. And to show them Jesus, and that they might know you. And that they might be saved. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would touch our hearts afresh in these days and these months ahead. You'd open our eyes to where the people are that you want us to touch. You'd open our eyes that we're daily following you. That you're the one that says, just follow me and I'll do the rest. You're the one who makes us fishers of men. You're the one who's faithful. You're the one who has the plan. You're the one who has the ability and the power. Oh, we do thank you for all you've done for us. And we pray that that would be so much more revelation to us that we would gladly want to give you our lives and offer it to you each day. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all you're going to do. We know we're only standing at the start of all that you are doing, Lord, in Warfield. And I know that you've been working here many years, but there's still so much more. Lord, lead us. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom be expanded. Let lives come to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.